The epistle appointed to be read for Quinquagesima Sunday is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 13. Brethren, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And if I should have prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I should have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And if I should distribute all my goods to feed the poor, and if I should deliver my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity is patient, is kind. Charity envieth not, dealeth not perversely, is not puffed up, is not ambitious, seeketh not her own, is not provoked to anger, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth with the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never falleth away. Whether prophecy shall be made void, or tongue shall cease, or knowledge shall be destroyed. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away the things of a child. We see now through a glass in a dark manner, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. And now there remain faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 18. At that time Jesus took unto him the 12 and said to them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things shall be accomplished which were written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man. For he shall be delivered to the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and scourged and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will put him to death, and the third day he will rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this word was hid from them, and they understood not the things that were said. Now it came to pass, when he drew nigh to Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And when he heard the multitude passing by, he asked what this meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they that went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace, but he cried out much more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus, standing, commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I do to thee? But he said, Lord, that I may see. And Jesus said to him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he saw and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Charity never falleth away. Words taken from today's epistle. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, I would like to begin by telling you a true story that was published by a priest of the Mary Knoll Society. The title that he gave to the story was Love Never Fails. The story is about a pious Catholic mother, an ungrateful son, and an unfailing charity. The story took place around the year 1950. And what happened was this. A 71-year-old mother was robbed by her 43-year-old son of her life savings. The amount of money that she had stashed away to live on was about $3,000. Now, $3,000 in 1950 is equivalent to about $35,000 today. The son had helped himself to his mother's safe deposit box. He took all her money to the racetrack, and on one day, He recklessly gambled it all away, losing everything. When other family members discovered what had happened, they had the 43-year-old son brought up on charges of grand theft. But when the 70-year-old old woman appeared before a judge, she refused to prosecute. "He is my son," she said, "and I still love him. I haven't long to live, and I pray that God will be forgiving of me as I am of my son." Now, each year on this Quinquagesima Sunday, we read from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, in which the apostle speaks of charity in a most remarkable way, in a way here that he does not in all his other epistles. And you know, my dear friends, St. Paul did this in this first epistle to the Corinthians, to the Christians at Corinth, because they prized and they valued the extraordinary gifts of God given to many Christians in the ancient apostolic church. These extraordinary gifts I'm talking about included the speaking in tongues, prophesying, and performing miracles. The first Christians of Corinth, some of them who had received these gifts, were so dazzled by them that some of them became proud, and in their pride, they looked down and despised others. Thus, St. Paul essentially taught them that these extraordinary gifts by which men are so easily awed are supernaturally of no avail without charity. For charity alone unites us to God. And by charity, we are not talking about being nice. By charity, we mean having the theological virtue of charity in one's soul, which can only be had by those in the state of sanctifying grace. But St. Paul explained to the Corinthians the absolute necessity of having this virtue of charity and practicing it. And thus does the church seek to remind us today. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, the apostle wrote, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And if I should have prophecy and should know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I should have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And if I should distribute, the apostle continues, all my goods to feed the poor, and if I should deliver my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Think about what St. Paul is saying here. He says a person could have such powers, such great powers, as some of them had, to work miracles. They could be a prophet, and they could have such faith that they could lift up a mountain and move it. Or they could die for a cause, a good cause, a worthy cause. They could give away all they have to the poor. And yet in the end, they could still lose their soul. And why? Because they are not doing it for the love of God, but rather out of a pride and a sinful self-esteem. One could thus have great faith and hope, but without charity, they cannot be saved. One could know the Bible by heart and have a vast knowledge of theology and sacred things. But if they do not have charity, if they die in the state of mortal sin, they will be lost. And all their Bible verses and their vast theological knowledge will be to no avail. For without supernatural charity, my dear people, there is no salvation. Regardless how much one might know about the Bible and the things of God. But after this, the apostle then describes what charity is and what it is not. Charity is patient, he says, kind. Charity does not envy. It does not deal perversely. It is not puffed up. It is not ambitious, seeketh not her own. Are we, my dear friends, impatient with others? Are we impatient when we don't get our way? Are we impatient and given to complaining when things go wrong? Are we unkind in our thoughts towards others, our words, or even actions? Or do we seek to get our own way in most or all things? Or are we willing to set aside what we want, what we desire, for the love of God and others? You know, these are important questions for husbands and wives to ask themselves. These are important questions for children to ask themselves. When a child does not get his or her own way, how do they respond to their parents? When a husband or a wife does not get their own way, how do they respond to their spouse? These are also important questions that even priests and religious and single people must ask themselves. But St. Paul goes on. He says that charity is not provoked to anger. It thinketh no evil, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity, he says, never falleth away. In other words, charity does not seek to get back at others for wrongs that are done or wrongs that we imagine have been done to us. For one who practices a true charity does not bear malice and vengeance in their heart for others. One who is practicing a true charity tolerates and even excuses the defects, the faults, and the failings of others. In fact, St. Basil the Great and St. John Chrysostom, two of the greatest doctors and bishops of the ancient Eastern Church, they taught that as far as it is possible, charity seeks to believe only the good things about one's neighbor. But if it is not possible, they say, to think good about another. Charity, they say, simply commends such a person to God. Charity hopes for the best of things, St. Paul says. Charity hopes for the best of things for one's neighbor. Charity strives to patiently suffer and endure any and all evils that come from others or arise in some way in the course of our lives. And there are many evils in our world today that have arisen that test our charity, that test our patience and our virtue with others. And finally, St. Paul says here, among other things, charity never falleth away. That is to say, charity never ceases, not here nor in heaven. My dear friends, this same Mary Knoll priest who told the story of the 71-year-old mother robbed by her son of her life savings insisted that the purest and most enduring of earthly affections and love is that of a mother for her child. How too often it is that the affections and love between a husband and a wife become cold and indifferent or altogether fail. How often charity between brothers and sisters fails in the face of hurt feelings and pride, or friendships often end over the most foolish and trivial of matters. But the love between a mother and a child, despite certain exceptions today, the love between a mother and a child is the most enduring and purest of earthly loves. Hence, that 71-year-old mother could not prosecute her son, though he certainly deserved to be brought to justice and receive, we might say, his just deserts. But still, in her charity, in her pure and enduring love for him, a love rooted in her love for Christ, she would not. He was still her child. He was her own flesh and blood. And you know, my dear friends, if we could understand the pure and enduring love between a mother and a child, then we would have a better understanding and greater appreciation of the pure and enduring love that the Son of God has for each and every one of us. For think about it, we read in the last gospel at almost every Mass, the Gospel of St. John, as we will read at the end of Mass today, I will say, all things were made through him, and nothing was created except by him. The second person of the Blessed Trinity, the Son of God. All creation, then, is his, and especially the souls of men, for men are the apple, as it were, of his eye. How great, how pure, and how enduring is the love of the Son of God for His creatures. It is so great, it is so pure, it is so enduring that He became a man in order to save us for eternity. And thus we read in the beginning of today's gospel how the God-man would be delivered to the Gentiles and mocked and scourged and spit upon. And after they have scourged Him, they will put Him to death. How pure a love is that? How enduring a love is that? That God should become a man in order to save His creatures and do this by suffering a most painful tortures, torments unto death. His love for us is like to a mother's love for a child. But even more, it is boundless, unlimited, infinite. Can we find then a purer or more enduring love for us than the love of Jesus Christ? Can we find a charity that is more patient than His? Can we find a charity that is more kind than His? Can we find a charity that bears and endures, forgives and pardons our sins, our failings, our unfaithfulness, and our ingratitude more than His? We cannot, we will not find a greater charity towards us than His. He has never failed anyone in His charity, but He has been failed by almost everyone in charity. His love for us is always pure, always enduring. How often it is, my dear friends, that our love for Him is not so pure, nor so enduring. How often we love ourselves more on occasions, and in our self-love we are impatient. That is, we complain. We complain about the very crosses and sufferings that He has sent to us to help us to overcome vice, to overcome inordinate attachments to the things of this world, to help us become holy. Or how some even commit mortal sins and break, so to speak, His sacred heart. Our charity for Him then and for others for His sake is not always pure nor enduring. This Wednesday, my dear friends, we begin another season of Lent. And thanks be to God, we are able to do this. For Lent is the holiest time of year, because it is a time when God unloads, as it were, the choicest graces and blessings upon us. Because Lent is designed to help us deny ourselves, our wants, and deny our prideful ways by the fastings and the penances we do. Even as it strengthens us and moves us to turn our thoughts towards the suffering Christ and consider His love for us. And how then we ought to have such a charity for Him, and for His sake, a charity for others. That is why, you know, the church assigns this epistle and gospel to be read at the beginning of Lent, the Sunday before Lent. Let us then take this Lent seriously by putting, first of all, into practice the teachings of St. Paul. Let us be faithful each day to the penances imposed upon us by the church. But let us do these penances in our own penances with charity in our heart, and the image of the suffering Christ always before our eyes. And as we knelt before the crib this past Christmas at the side of Mary Immaculate, the most loving of mothers, let us now stand beneath the cross at the side of the Lady of Sorrows, the most forgiving of all mothers. Consecrate your Lent to her. Consecrate to her your sacrifices, your fasting, and your penances. And ask this most holy mother, whose love for us is the purest and most enduring of any mother, ask her to obtain for you this Lent a measure of that charity with which her immaculate heart burns for Jesus Christ. Confident that if you persevere, she will obtain a treasure of grace for you. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.